Thank you. That's a great song. That last one that we sang there is really, really good. How old is that? Did anybody know how old that is, that song? Nobody? Well, I noticed that it says that it was copyrighted 2013. So it's recent. Except it's not, really. I looked at all the words. They're 2,000 years old. Excellent, tremendous truth. But I love it when I think of the fact that the people are still writing songs to the glory of the Lord and with some excellent teaching in. So, I am delighted to be here again. I always enjoy coming to Windsor. I get great fellowship and enjoy the folks here. I've enjoyed staying with Marcus and Nelly and visiting yesterday with Duart, Jimmy, Gene, and now we're here. And I want to spend some time today talking about a very, very important subject. And I think you'll probably enjoy some of the things that we have to say. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, if you will. John chapter 16. I have to try and speak slowly, because some of you don't understand proper English. I understand. Isn't that right, Marcus? I heard that, Murray. I heard that. What we're going to talk about today, this morning and this evening, and this is why I asked the young people to stay in, because I think this is really, really, really important. And I just want to talk to you about something, which is to me, is just such a profound subject, and it's such a great subject, and it's something that I think that we really need to get a grasp on and understand. It's the subject of walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord. I'm going to look at it in a moment or two. Let's just read a few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 16. This, of course, was the time when the Lord spent a protracted time with his disciples, teaching them through 13, 14, 15, 16, and then his prayer in chapter 17. And he talked about walking in fellowship and so forth and so on, and he deals with the subject of the Holy Spirit. And then skip to chapter 16, and he says this: "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yeah, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. And these things have I told you, that when the time come, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asked me, where goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart." Now, he's mentioned the fact that he was with them and that he was going to go away. And as you know, the Lord was physically on the earth for 33 years and 3 years in public ministry, where he actually spent time with his disciples. In fact, when he chose them, it says one time that he chose them that he might be with them. And you can imagine what kind of a learning time that would have been when he was with them. Very, very important point. But now he was going to go. He said he's going to leave. And sorrow has filled their heart, is what it tells us here. But this is what he said. This is so very important to you and me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, the Comforter here, that's a Greek word which is a paraclete. It means one called alongside to help. So he said he's going to send one who is the Holy Spirit, who was going to come alongside the disciples at this particular stage, and subsequently all of the Lord's people. He was going to be one who would help all of the Lord's people, until the time when the Lord takes us to be with himself. So this, though it was told to his disciples, this is important. It is pertinent to you and to me. I don't care how old you are, if you've trusted Christ as your own personal Savior, how young or how old, this is very important for you and it's important for me. So he said, when he, and by the way, one more point here, I sometimes hear the Holy Spirit referred to as it. No, he's not it, he is he. The personal pronoun is used between 12 and what, 15 or 16, is used 10 times referring to him. They sometimes referred to as the third person of the Trinity, when in actual fact they are all equal. When he is come, this is what he will do. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so basically what he's saying there is that when the Spirit of God has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, one of his ministries would be to convict the world of sin, the fact that we're all sinners, of his righteousness because he was taken and accepted by the Father, and of judgment because this world is under judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit will be teaching, that the time is going to come when mankind will face judgment. But in Christ, of course, there is forgiveness and so forth and so on. So then he goes on to talk about what he's going to do with the disciples. He says this, he says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Now there's a lesson in that when we get saved, the Lord just doesn't dump on us and tell us everything we need to know, because we couldn't handle it. We would be discouraged if we knew all the things we need to learn. We would be discouraged. He says, I can't tell you these things now because you cannot bear them. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit. So verse 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You don't understand the second coming. You say, what is all this? The rapture, pre-tribulation, mid-trib, post-trib, amill, all of that. What is all of that? Well, a good first step is to say, Lord, I don't understand. Help. And anything you don't understand about the Word of God, all you have to do is say, help. Because you, as a believer, are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it tells us right here that he will guide us into all truth. Okay? It's very, very important. It says, he shall glorify me. He will glorify me. Sometimes people say, well, should we pray to the Holy Spirit? No. No, his ministry whilst he's here is to direct us to the Father through the Son and to glorify the Son. And he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, I don't know if you caught all of these things in there, that here, those people who have trusted Christ as their own personal Savior receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, and he will guide us, he will teach us, he will show us things of Christ, he will glorify Christ, and all we need to do is simply walk in the Spirit. Walk with the Lord. That's what we need to do. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. Two things. One very, very brief. And the other one is going to take this morning and this evening. There are two tremendous truths about Christianity. Number one is this, that the great God who created this whole universe so loved us individually that he sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, to pay for our sins, all of which, by the way, were future at the time. Back then, all of the sins were future. He paid for sins past, present, and future, so that we could spend an eternity with him, forgiven, totally accepted, totally loved for all of eternity, in a place that's been prepared for us personally. Let me just make sure we understand that. The first great, wonderful truth is this, that God loves you and me so much that he sent his Son to forgive us for our sins upon believing on him, so that we can spend eternity with him. Now, we've been singing hymns here this morning, and I want to say this. I sat over there and I was looking at these little kids here, and I was looking at you young people here and people over there. Listen, folks, pin your ears back, some of you older people. Do you know how important that is? Do you know how important that is? Because even some of these little ones that don't seem to be listening are probably eavesdropping. They are. And some of these things get ingrained in, they get into. Let me give you an example of that, of what I mean for that. I was thinking about this subject recently, and I was thinking about this the two wonderful truths about Christianity. We'll come to the second one in a second too. I was thinking about the two wonderful truths of Christianity, and all of a sudden in my mind popped something that I haven't remembered since I've been a little kid in a chapel where I was taught these words. And it was a hymn. And all of a sudden, there it is. And it's a hymn that begins like this. It says, "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me." And I learned that, like these little kids here. How many people know that carol, that hymn? You know that, you know that hymn? Wonderful. How many other people know that hymn? Marcus will now come and sing it for us. I don't understand the word you're saying, brother. You see, that's the problem. This is... He says, "You want cake?" And I say, "Yes," and I get cheese. I have no idea what that's all about. I won't bring up it. Listen. You want me to sing it for you? Thank you. See, I get some. Normally when I say that, people go, "No, don't do that." Listen, I can't sing it all because there's a lot of verses, but this was a beautiful song that I learned when I was a little kid. Folks, that's how important this is. That's how important this is. Very, very important. Here it is. "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble lot, and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved him not." There's a lot of verses. I learned that as a little kid and it stuck. Thank you, I appreciate that. I'll collect the check at the door. Listen to me. This is a point I'm trying to make. Folks, make sure your kids keep getting this kind of grounding and this kind of foundation. Whatever you do, it sticks in the mind. Honestly, I was a little kid and I remembered that first verse and it popped up. Anyway, I can't get into that more, but I just want to urge you for that. It crossed my mind. And the second wonderful truth that I want to bring, we're going to talk more about this one here. The second wonderful truth, and the one that I want to deal with, is that the God of all creation, listen to this, the God of all creation wants an intimate, individual, personal relationship with you personally. Got that? Understand that. We're in spiritual warfare, and oftentimes the enemy of souls wants to convince you, well, this stuff is only for certain people. No, it isn't. Every believer at the moment of salvation is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who wants to teach and lead and guide you into all truth. He wants to take the things of the Lord and show them to you. That's how important these hymns are. That's how important these sessions, Bible teaching, that's how important that is. Now, it's a tragic fact, listen to this, it's a tragic fact that in many Christian circles it is possible for believers to attain any position of Christian service without knowing what it means to walk with the Lord, or to have a clear understanding of what it means to walk with the Lord. And the reason for this seems to be that we have replaced spirituality with activity and all kinds of other items. The tremendous heritage that you have, if you want, is the fact that when Jesus Christ left, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell you personally so that he could live his life in and through you and teach you and grow you up. We sang a course about grow, grow, grow. That's what it means. We feed on the word and we grow spiritually and we come to understand more. Now understand this. This concept of walking with the Lord is... what time do we have? What time do we have to quit? 12 what? 12:25? Is that this afternoon or this evening? No. Okay, I don't like going over time because people are not off, and you can tell you've lost them, see? So I won't go over, you're okay. But I want you to get this thing. If you get nothing else this morning, if you understand nothing else, understand this, that this great God sent his son to die on Calvary's cross to cleanse you from all your sins so that you can spend an eternity with him. But the second great truth is this, this wonderful fact is that he wants a personal, intimate relationship with you. Whether it's at work, at school, at play, wherever. And I know that these days, some of you young people, you face tough stuff at school like we never faced. Let me say this, tell you what, the Lord knows, the Lord cares, the Lord understands. And you as a believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he will teach and lead you and guide you. So the first thing I want to mention about this, that this is a Bible doctrine. This is not just some idea. Well, our Ray's coming, he's got some weird idea. No, the concept of walking with the Lord is one that's unfortunately not mentioned much these days. We do hear it mentioned. We sing when we walk with the Lord in the light of the word. Come to the garden of Lone. We walk with him. We talk with him. We hear some of those verses, etc., etc. But actually, it's a vital truth that is not clearly understood or taught or practiced. And we as believers, if we're going to get to know the Lord better, we need to understand what it means to walk with him. There's various terminologies used in the word for this, but it all emphasizes the same thing, and I'm not going to get you to turn to these because I don't want to take the time. But I just want to point out that you find this concept throughout the word. For example, in John 13 verse 8, Jesus said, when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Didn't mean they weren't saved, because they were his people. But he said he needed to wash them from the daily filth of the world, as it were. That was another concept of walking with him. In John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, or those that walk with him, the same brings forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. And so you have a number of these verses like this. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul, I beseech you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, etc., etc., etc. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I'm going to skip some here because of the sake of time. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh are those things that drive us, our old nature drives us. Walk in the Spirit, then you will be empowered not to walk in the flesh. Philippians, let's take one there, 3:17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and tell you now, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And there are so many, I don't even have time to go into them. And I'm not going to, there's more I can give you. But I want you to, let me just give you one more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, when you look at those verses, and there's lots of them, in fact, if you go from the start of the word of God to the end, you're going to find the same concept. I've just been reading in Judges, and it's an amazing book, is the book of Judges. The children of Israel were saved out of Egypt. The Red Sea and all of those things, you know those stories so well. And here they were, and And over and over and over again, God rescued them from danger, etc., etc., and they went back again and failed to walk with him. Over and over, it says the same thing. They stopped walking with him. I'm going to say this to you. I believe that the majority of what is so-called Christianity has no idea what it means to walk with the Lord. And it's a tragedy because he wants an intimate personal relationship with every one of you, every one of us. Now, the question comes up, can I walk in the Spirit? Can I do that? Maybe you're one of those who you haven't been a Christian very long, or you're thinking all kinds of things. You may be saying, I've only been saved for a short time. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't start coming to the meeting until a little while ago. I've never been to Bible school. I'm not much of a reader or a scholar. By the way, if you're not, practicing makes perfect. It does come. I'm not a leader. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not this. I'm that. I don't really understand the Bible. I understand all of these things. And you may be saying some of these things, why you can't. Those things are help. But look, the fact is that as a believer, you have new life in Christ. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God who wants to teach you. Another hymn that we learned back in England, and I don't know how many will know this one. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. You don't pay enough. here's another song. This is an old song from Britain. This is what it says. Our blessed Redeemer, ere he breathed his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter, bequeathed with us to dwell. Anybody heard that one? Nobody. Where have you been all your life? Oh, never mind. All of our problems. So listen again. First verse. Our blessed Redeemer, the Lord, ere he breathed his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter bequeathed with us to dwell. I'll pick a couple of verses out there. He came sweet influence to impart, a gracious willing guest, where he can find one humble heart wherein to rest. And listen to this. This is a wonderful verse. And his that gentle voice we hear, soft as the breath of even, that checks each thought and calms each fear and speaks of heaven. You see, those people who know the Lord and believers will testify that's true. The Spirit of God speaks to your hearts to encourage, to bless, to guide, to lead, to correct, and so forth and so on. And that's a hymn we used to sing back in England. But here's the question. Is it possible for us to actually walk with the Lord, all believers? Because I believe that this is exactly what he wants for us. We are all supposed to be channels of blessing, vessels through which the life of Christ can be seen and to be lived. As an example of this, I was up to visit Duett yesterday, hotel, what do you call that place? I don't know why you call it Hotel Du. Didn't look much like a hotel to me. But anyway, Duett's in there, he's dressed in his street with his regular clothes, and he's laying on the bed, and I walked in, and you know Duett. I mean, all of a sudden he goes, hey, and he cocks his leg up in here. And he obviously a little pleased to see me. It's good. But he told us, and Brother Marcus was there again as well, and he told us of all the people he's witnessing to, sharing the gospel with. He gets their names, all his foreign names. He writes them down, so he gets it right. And he's talking and he's witnessing. He's having tremendous opportunity to witness. But you know what? Here's something. He's 89 years old coming up. He's 88 years of age now. And you know what he told us? He said, but you know, God is teaching him things. Still showing him things that he needs to correct in his thinking. Things that are important that the Lord wants to deal with him personally on. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit continuing to grow us up. And he's 88 years of age. And been doing that all his life. That's what he wants to do with us. So, can we walk with the Lord? What actually happened to you when you were saved? Let me just give you a few things off the cuff, as it were. You came to him lost, completely without hope. That's how you came to him. You needed to be perfect to get into heaven, and all you had was filthy rags. That's all you had. When I say you, I mean me too, obviously. So Jesus Christ gave you his own perfect righteousness. We sang about that in some of those hymns this morning, wonderful old hymns. You went from being in the old Adam to being in the new Adam, Christ. Bible tells us in Christ you were crucified. That's what that last song was talking about. In Christ you were crucified, died, buried, and were resurrected to new life. You were. Some of us, we don't seem to realize that that's exactly what happened. And the issue of your eternal destiny was settled forever. So you're now free to walk with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit once you're saved. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, we still struggle with this. So I've kind of put together a few questions. And you don't have to answer out loud, and we don't really want to take the time either. But number one, is it true that the Lord promised that the Holy Spirit would come at a specific time in history? Yes, it is. He came at Pentecost. And that's what it says in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, etc., etc. Acts 1 verse 4 says, and they being assembled together, they were told to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. A once and for all event in history. Second question. Is it true that the Holy Spirit is actually represented as dwelling in the hearts of believers? Is that true? Or is that just an idea that some of us have here? Well, Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says that if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he doesn't belong to him. Doesn't belong to him. He's not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says this, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, placed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That same chapter goes on to tell us that now that God has set every member in the body as it pleased him. And there are various verses that I don't want to take the time, but one of them says, for example, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. That's the fact. Now, every one of these, in all of these places, it's meant that Christians are, as one person puts it, under the setting apart influence. He produces it in their hearts. The Christian graces fills their mind with peace and love and joy as they walk with him. And the key here, as we walk with him. Is it true? Here's another question. Is it true that the Holy Spirit, and it's promised the Holy Spirit would teach you? Is that true? It is true. And I want to encourage you, particularly young folks again, get into the idea of saying, Lord, I need help. Lord, I don't understand. Because he wants to teach you. He wants to glorify the Lord and show us more about him. So is it true that the Lord promised that the Holy Spirit would teach us about him? Is that true? Well, we read that in chapter 16. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he's come, he will do a number of things. And I'm just going to, in the time that we have left, I just want to look at some of those things and encourage you with these. These are the things that will actually happen. It is so important that we as believers walk with the Lord. It tells us that he will guide us into all truth. That's what it says there, Acts chapter 16, verse 13. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How? Through the word of God. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Sanctify them through your truth, the Lord says, and your word is truth. Now then, did we sing a chorus a few moments ago, something to do with that? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. You see, folks, these choruses are not just things because we have an hour to fill up. These are important things that get grounded in our hearts. I think I taught you a chorus here a few years ago, called, where does that go now? Something about the Word of God. Man alive. This shows you're getting old. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Anybody know that chorus? Make the book live to me, the book being the Bible. Do you know that chorus? So you're not going to come sing it for me then, are you? It's okay. It's a great, great chorus. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me thyself within thy word. Show me thyself and show me my Saviour and make the book live to me. Anybody ever heard that one before? Hey, we have two at the back. Praise the Lord. You've heard that before? See? So you're not all completely Murray is, you're not. He will teach us. He will guide us into all truth. But through the word. I tell you what, folks, people will say to you, have you read this? Have you read that? Have you read all kinds of things? Okay, well, a lot of them are not very deep. But listen to this. One thing you do need to do, folks, read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Look to the Lord. Allow the Lord to take his word and teach you. He'll bring those things back to remembrance. It says this. It says that he will speak the things that he hears from heaven. He won't speak about himself, but he will speak about the things that he hears from heaven. Here's a truth. Here's a truth. The fact is that God, according to John 15, God the Heavenly Father is like a farmer who knows exactly where you should be placed in the field. He knows exactly what you need in your life, and he knows all that you need for life and growth. And that's communicated to the Holy Spirit about you, who prays for you. Did you know that? Do you know the Holy Spirit is praying for you? Do you know the Lord prays for you? We have an advocate in heaven who's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take of those things and he'll show them to you. It says that he'll show us things to come. I love that. Don't have time to get into prophecy and stuff today. But I tell you what, that's an incredible subject. Now there are some who believe that he's come halfway through the tribulation. Some believe he's before the tribulation, some after the tribulation. Some believe that there is no tribulation. And some believe that there's a pan-tribulation. It's all going to pan out anyway. And, you've got all of these views. But what's true? What is correct? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. And I believe you're getting good teaching on that here anyway. But ask the Lord and he will steer you into all truth. It says that he will glorify the Lord. Oh, what a tremendous thing. I believe that the first meeting like we had this morning particularly is a meeting that should be, we should come walking in fellowship with the Lord with all known sin dealt with. I believe we should come and the Holy Spirit ought to be allowed to direct our worship to glorify the Lord. That's what I believe the worship service ought to be. He can't do that if we're not walking with him. But he can if we are, if we walk in fellowship with him. He will glorify the Lord. He will receive of the Lord and show it unto us. We've already talked about that. He will take and receive of the Lord the things personally to do with us. It's a fact that God knows us intimately. There's a verse in the Bible in 1 Corinthians that uses a word in there which means unique, and the Greek word is idios, from which we get our word idiot. And it's not a bad word where it's used there. We are every one of us unique, and God understands you personally and uniquely. And he has the answer to everything. And we need to walk in the light of that, understanding that he does know, he does care, he does understand. Now, it is also true that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Is it true that we individually can upset God the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it is. The Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about quenching the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Well, you don't need me to tell you personally how you do that, but I do know this, that failing to walk with him, failing to have any interest in his word, failing to just want to do what he wants, that grieves him. And sometimes the Spirit of God shows us things and we know what we're supposed to do and we won't do it. We say yes but, or we come up with all kinds of excuses. See, understand this. The Spirit of God loves you, cares for you personally and intimately. Let me give you a little... I'm watching the clock very carefully, okay? Because it's very, very important. I got saved October the 15th, 1957, which is a long while ago. That was 10 years before I was born. Okay, think about it. Now, it's October the 15th, 1957. Okay? I went to work the next morning, and on the bicycle ride there, which was 3 miles through the country, I lit up my first cigarette. Now, I don't want to say that cigarettes are bad for you, because they're awful for you, right? And immediately, for some reason or other, don't forget, I got saved the night before, wasn't even thinking what happened, I threw away the first cigarette, threw it away, right? Okay? Now, I don't, why would I do that? All of a sudden, you just decide, I don't want it. Why? Okay, let that go. I don't know why. I worked in an agriculture and engineering place where they had lots of filthy language and dirty jokes and all of that kind of garbage. Right? So I joined in. I went into the shop and I started to join in. And all of a sudden, here am I, just like any other day, it was a Tuesday morning, and all of a sudden, as I began to join in, guess what happened? Something, someone, somehow, something inside is saying, whoa, hold it, something wrong with this. And I was confused. As time went on, I realized that something had definitely happened the night before. It wasn't something I thought about and say, okay, from now on I've got to, you know, do all the right things. No. The fact is that the Holy Spirit of God had taken up residence in my life, as he promised he would in the book, in the Word of God, and began to take this young guy, 17 years of age, with a foul mouth, and didn't know very much, and began to steer and guide and lead and correct, and a whole host of other things. And he's been doing that all of these years. And guess what? He's been doing that with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other people. He has. And he wants to do it with you. The reality of the Christian life. And if we had time this morning, maybe even tonight, I don't know, it would be great to get the saints together and some of these people who are older and just say, okay, is what Ray said this morning, is there any truth in that at all? Can you tell me, can you give me experiences of how you're led by the Spirit, how you're directed by him? Because this is supposed to be the normal Christian life. Supposed to be, folks. The joy of walking with the Lord. Why is it that we come here, I drive 2 or 3 hours, maybe 3 hours, I guess, come here. Why is it you have such joy in being with folks and a fellowship and so forth and so on? Because I'm sure, you know, I've been around this world, quite a few places. You can say, well, there must be better places. Really? There aren't too many better places than being with the Lord's people, I've got to tell you that. There really isn't. So we're... couple of minutes there. It is possible to grieve the Lord or just to show him out and say no. Don't need to do that. He will guide us and he will direct us. I'm not going to get into all of these in great detail. How does the Spirit of God lead you and guide you? How does he do that? Well, number one is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never direct a believer contrary to the written Word of God. He will never ever do that. That's what confuses me. I see the vast continent that we have and all of these different ways of running a local assembly. I think, how can that be? Is God the author of confusion? No, he isn't. It's just that the believers don't walk with him. So how can you get direction? So number one, it's going to be through the Word of God. It's very, very important that we read the Word of God. Secondly, that he will direct us, he will speak through our hearts, to our hearts, like he did with me, with the smoking and the foul language and so forth and so on. And it's more up to date than that. When I was going to move, and we moved to Guelph 2.5 years ago, I decided I was going to buy this house out in the country and get this, that and the other, etc., etc., etc. And the Lord convicted me, that is a really bad move. And I've got to tell you, I woke up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't shake this thinking that this is a bad move. Well, I'm really good at making dumb moves, I got to tell you. You know what happened? What happened? I now realize that God was right. That would have been an absolutely awful move. And now we have a much smaller place, etc., 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 etc. But do you know what happened? The Spirit of God, after all of these years, is still saying, "Oh, Ray, whoa, stop." And he is able some of the time to lead and direct into better paths. Because that's what he wants to do. And this paraclete, this comforter, this one called alongside to help, he wants to help you individually. Every single one of you here who have trusted Christ as your own Savior are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and he wants to lead and direct you personally. However young or ever old you are. The third thing and the final thing I want to mention, and we're done with this, is how does he lead? He leads through the Word of God. He leads through speaking to our hearts. The third thing he does, he leads through other believers. That's why we have an assembly of with elders, godly men, mature men, and mature women as well, to give counsel, to give guidance, and so forth and so on. This is why we're led by elders, and everything is all in the Word of God. But people we can get godly advice from, who the Bible calls the elders overseers, who are overseeing the work. We have a tremendous resource in them, if only we knew it. You know, God has often used other people. You remember David in the Old Testament? David got himself into sin. He's out on the roof looking down, and he's supposed to be somewhere else, and he saw this woman. Instead of turning around and going back, he lusted after her, and you know the whole story. And he was so blind to what the Lord was trying to say to him. We told him one psalm that he sweated all night, tossed and turned in his bed. Why? Because God was trying to say, "David, David, David." In the end, God couldn't get through to him. And sometimes he can't get through to us. So you know what God did? God sent a man to him who told him a little childish little story. And David got all on his high horse. And what did Nathan say? "You're the man. You're the man." Remember the story? Of course you do. You know the story very well. Because God had to use a person to speak to him. Peter was a man who was walking with the Lord and so forth and so on. Then some of the legalists from Judea came over, and all of a sudden Peter stopped eating ham sandwiches and so forth and so on. And what happened? Paul had to speak to his face. He withstood him to his face. And you know what, folks? Sometimes, be very careful with this one. Sometimes we need to be told by someone else that we're wrong. Let me tell you this. This is one of the great blessings we have when we have an assembly where God has given us godly elders who with a love for us to give guidance and direction. And we better listen. We better listen. See, the Lord, he so much wants that intimate relationship with you. He does. Every single one of you. This is a subject that would take weeks to get through all of it, but that's just kind of an overview. Tonight we're going to look at the objective of that. What's the objective of that? And we trust the Lord to use that in our hearts and lives tonight. Let's Marcus, why don't you close in prayer for us, brother? Close in prayer.
Alone.